for part of it. We mention a few things before we go on. It's for the wealth of King Solomon. No man in history, before or after, had the wealth that this man had. We find that this queen came from a different land. Then we find him mentioned in verses 14 on to the end of the chapter, the splendor of Solomon's home, the temple, and all that he had to do with, the splendor of Jerusalem. And then we find that Solomon forsakes God. What an amazing thing. The man that was the wisest of all men, taking his eyes off the Lord God. And why? God told him three things that he wasn't to do. And he did all three. He was not to multiply unto himself wives, nor horses, nor gold. And it was the wives that took his heart away from the Lord. There were pagan wives, something else that he was told not to do. The vast majority were pagan. And ultimately, he is bowing before pagan thrones or idols, whether he actually believed it or not. We find that the Lord rebukes him, and that the Lord told him that the kingdom would not be taken from him in his lifetime, but it would be lost in his son's lifetime. And because of David, his beloved, now we find David made an awful fall, but David never took his eyes off the Lord. Solomon. He had his eyes off the Lord when he fell, but it wasn't long before he was corrected. And he humbled himself before the Lord. The Lord could never use him the same. But he never used Solomon for much of anything after this took place in Solomon's life. I didn't say that Solomon wouldn't be with the Lord, but if you remember, he was the Lord. But he paid an awful price, and he saw it coming. And he even tried to slay the man who would take 2/5 of the kingdom. 2/6. Excuse me, he 5/6 of the king. 5 tribes went with Jeroboam, and only 2 left with Jeroboam, all because of pride. And what was the first sin in the universe? Pride. Pride goeth before destruction, not a fall. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before. Gotta mix that myself now. The haughty spirit before the fall. All right, let us start reading in chapter 10, verse 13 verses. And when the queen of Sheba And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bore spices, and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she talked with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon answered all her questions. There was not anything hidden from the king which he told her not. When the queen of Sheba had seen all of Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he had built, and the food of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and their cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, "There was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half hath not been told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, happy are those are these thy servants, who stand continually before thee, and who hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord God, who delighted in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king, to execute justice and righteousness. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold, and of spices, very great store, and precious stone. And there came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. And the navy also of Hiram, that brought gold from Ophir, and brought it from Ophir a great plenty of almug trees and precious stones. And the king made of the almug trees pillars for the house of the Lord, for the king's house, harps also, and psalteries for the singers. There came no such almug trees, nor were seared 59,795,200 per year. Can you grasp anything like that? And I dare say the buying power was far greater than it is today. In fact, what was the daily wage? Does anyone know? Since the Lord's time, possibly it was even less than 1 denarii, a penny. A penny was a day's wage. So at the end of a year, you would have $3.65, roughly. And you compare what this buying power was next to that. Beyond our imagination. And I imagine later, as we go on into the study of the temple, you'll find that there was no building such as the temple. And it wasn't all that big. The temple wasn't all that big. But it was covered with gold. And even in the day of the Lord, when it was rebuilt, as it were, by Herod, it was limited to the gold to say when you would come up over the hill towards Jerusalem, the sun too, it just dazzled the eye. Think of what it was in the day of Solomon. And Solomon's day was the height of Israel's time. And by the way, for those that think of little Israel over there today, that's a fraction of the land that is supposed to be Israel. In fact, Solomon did not occupy all the land that the Lord had promised Israel. He came short of occupying all of it. The Jews will say, this is our land. The Arabs say that it's their land. Well, it never was the Arabs. It never was the Israelites either. It's God's land. And God will see to it that the people he wants will have. And you know from the Word of God that that will be Israel. Israel's back there today. But there are some parts of Israel so narrow, you couldn't spit across it, at least you could throw a rock across. And yet we are except asking Israel to give more land away. We want them to be at peace. Can you imagine what would happen if Mexico or Canada did even one of those things that are happening in Israel? As a nation, they wouldn't do. They'd be conquered and weaker left. We wouldn't play any games, and yet we ask little Israel, God's people, to do all of these things. Now let us get back. I've got a lot of verses. I don't know if we have the time to turn to them. I'll give a little time, and we will try to read along with them. Let us look first at Matthew, the 12th chapter. Verse 42. Now there's a place over in Luke that tells us the same thing, Luke 11:31. The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came unto from the farthest parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. We find, too, that the Lord speaking in John 5:39, he says, search the scriptures, or rather, the ye is implied. Ye, speaking to the religious leaders, ye search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. But they are they that testify. Hebrews 10:7. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, not some of the book, the volume of the book. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. So that the word of God points to thee, the Lord Jesus Christ. You can look at Psalm 40:7, it says the very same thing as you would find in Hebrews 10:7. And we find that the first thing that she did, what happened? She heard a report. You and I, if we witness, we're giving that report, whether it's in our lives or spoken word. And how many times throughout the day do we have an opportunity to witness to the Lord and we zip? Maybe we better wait for a better time. How do you know that you're going to have a better time? How do you know you'll ever meet that person again? Whether they live or not, you might, the way things be rushing and puffing about here, you might never see them again. But then, too, we don't know that we've got another heartbeat. You or they be gone in a heartbeat. And you miss your opportunity to witness. Now, that doesn't say that our witnessing will be used of the Lord to save them. They have to make that decision. But we find in the Old Testament something about a witness or a guardian, a sentry, warning the people. In the first chapter of the 8th verse of Acts, I believe, it says that we are what? Witnesses. Each one of us, even in the hospital, you know, you can be a witness, unless you're unconscious. You think of our brother Alexander, and the last word on his lips were, I'll know him by the nail prints in his hand. What kind of witness are you and I going to be under such circumstances? You and I are going to be held accountable. As well. We may never see an individual saved, but we're going to be held accountable for them. Proclaiming the gospel, the good news, salvation through Christ Jesus. And we may be surprised when we get to glory how many are going to be saved. We were hearing not too long ago, different times, about the four young men that lost their lives in Ecuador. They didn't see too many saved during their lifetime. But you know, from what I gather, all or most of that tribe was saved after their death. In fact, Billy Graham is having a revival, if you call it that, in Germany. One of the chiefs or the leading men of that tribe was a missionary. And was on the platform of Billy Graham. Now, everyone that may be led to the Lord, or you're part of that chain that leads an individual to the Lord, will be accredited to those four young men. They gave their lives and all these people were saved. Now, how many amongst their own people were saved? You think of one instance in the United States when, if I'm not mistaken, 2,000 dedicated their lives to be missionaries. But even if only a quarter of them actually went or became even local missionaries, we're all missionaries. Those
500 would reach far more than those four young men could reach. And yet all of that credit will ultimately be placed to their feet. That's the same with you and me. When we witness, we may not see the fruit. But I don't believe there will be any child of God that won't have a time of some sort. Even if it's just giving water to someone in the name of the Lord. But this woman heard a report. Well, that's what you and I are doing. We're giving out a report. If we don't give the report, the people will never hear. She heard the report. And in Isaiah 53:1, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Many of them heard it, but they didn't believe it. She heard it, and she evidently was curious. There must have been something about it that made her concerned. We can look at Hebrews. I'd rather we look at it. We could quote it, but I'd rather you look at it. Hebrews, the first chapter. The first two verses. Well, we'll go to the first three verses. God, who at sundry times or in different times and in diverse or different manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. We heard that in the breaking of bread this morning. There was nothing in this universe until the Lord Jesus Christ began the creation. Who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Remember, Thomas and they were asking Philip as well, show us the Lord, or Jehovah. He as much as told them, you're looking at Jehovah. You see me, you see Jehovah. All of the attributes of God were in Christ Jesus. Who could raise the dead but God alone? Who could forgive sin but God alone? There are eye problems today that cannot be healed by doctors, especially people born blind. And the Lord spoke or touched, never healed. Men with palsy or same thing as infantile paralysis. They can't cure it to this day. He spoke a word. And they not only got up and walked, they rolled their bed up and walked away with it. Who could he be? He was God alone. So here we find being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Even when his earthly mother was carrying him in her womb, he was still God. He never ceased being God. We can't grasp it, but still upheld all things by the word of his power. But he had to take that form on, that he could die for you and me. He could be our substitute. When he had by himself purged our sins by himself, what did God the Father do? He turned his back on him. The Holy Spirit turned his back on him. All of heaven turned their back on him. His own disciples fled from him. The only ones that were there were his enemies. Other than the mother and them were there, but at a distance. They could do nothing for him. When he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. God has spoken, and the world rejects him. Then we find that as she heard the report, let us look at Romans. Romans, the 10th chapter, begin with verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it's your place and my place to let those
that we come in contact with here, the Word of God. John 5. I think the most of us should be able to quote this as well. John 5, verse 24, this is the verse that was used to lead Roy Reams to the Lord. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, there's the report again, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation or judgment, but is passed from death unto life. There again is the report. It was the report that she heard. And she evidently believed the report, or she traveled a great distance. What was the report? John 3:16, in our case, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth or trusteth in him hath everlasting life and shall not come into hath everlasting life. And right there. John 5:39. Jesus was speaking to the religious leaders. He search the scripture, for in them you think ye have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. This is what she was hearing, the words she was hearing. Romans, first chapter. Romans 1. In the first five verses. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called an apostle. It doesn't say to be. If you notice, your to be is in what? It's italic. It's not there. He was called an apostle. It wasn't something he would become in the future. Separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for deliverance, obedience rather, to the faith among all nations for his name. Acts 13. Verses 38 and 39. We used to hear this spoken a lot at gospel meetings. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which they could not be justified by the law of Moses. There are those that want to live by the law and be saved. You can't do it. There are things that the law could not cover. The blood of Jesus Christ covers all of them. The Lord said there's only one thing that it won't cover. Blaspheming the Holy Spirit. We talk the unforgivable sin. That's it. Now that you could say another one is, rejecting Christ until you die, well, that's no question about that. But this is something that can take place while you are living. You blaspheme the Holy Spirit. And the Lord said, even if you were to blaspheme Him, Himself, it could be forgiven, but not blaspheming the Holy Spirit. So that the Word of God reaches them all. In John 10 and 9, I am the door, and by me any man that entereth in shall what? Oh my. Why do I do this? Be saved. John 10, I am the door, by me, if any man boy. I would say, don't get old, but there's only one other alternative. I am the door, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture or fellowship with the Lord. She came. Like everyone here has made a profession. But how many times have we seen and heard people that have made a profession only at a later date to find out they weren't saved at all. I think T.J. might remember there was a day that he and I were coming to a prayer meeting and we heard the guy's name that was so good at talking, British Israelism, Armstrong. And I think I made the statement, how wonderful it would be if we had evangelists and missionaries that could speak like that. Then we decided no. He was selling you a bill of goods. He was a salesman. I think all of us at one time or another had been sold something by a salesman, and after we bought it, we wished we hadn't. There are people that have said yes, some of these so-called evangelists and preachers, yes, and everybody on the street, every person on the street, and have never really trusted Christ as their Savior. They say, do you believe that Christ died for you? Yes. Do you believe in God? Yes. They're saved. Are they? Awful. But the devils believe the same thing. But that in itself does not save you. The word believe means to trust in, to cleave to adhere to, not just believe with your head. In other words, you put your life in Christ's hands. You've given yourself to God. That's what trusting or believing is. And it's amazing to me how that the old folks back when there was very little education could understand these things. Now we have to have books written on what one or two words mean. She came. Have you? John or Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you the rest. The Lord will give you the rest. The latter part of John 6:37. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Let's look at John 5. John 5 and the 40th verse. And ye will not come unto me that ye might have life. Well, I don't know how all you folks were when you first got saved. But I heard the gospel day in and day out. And at a so-called revival meeting, the old-fashioned Methodist revival, and of course, they had the altar call and the song, and I would say, well, wait for the next chorus. And the next chorus. And the next chorus, pretty soon the meeting was over, what do we do? Back there the next night, the same thing, for almost 2 weeks. Finally, I get up, gave myself to the Lord. Mary had to go up and you had to get down on your knees in front of everybody. I saw my father do that. You know what it told me? He was saved. My father would bow his knee to no man. Physically, I don't know any man that could have moved. The only man I've ever known to be hit on the head with a sledgehammer and straightened up and looked the man in the face at the top of his head. The only man to have his jaw broken on both sides. Slipping and sliding his own blood, break the ribs and break the nose and knock the man out to get it. He bowed to no man, but when I saw him get up there, bow to the Lord, I knew there wasn't any plan, there wasn't anything. He and I had to bow to knee to the Lord. It's in our hearts to have him out. There's one thing when you do come up and do it publicly, it means something. John 7:37. In that day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Of course, most of us know John or Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And by the way, the next verse goes on to tell us that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now you're saved. How much are we doing for you? We're to be working for him. Luke 19 and 10. We find that the Lord did what? He came to die. He came to save sinners. He didn't come to save the just. Self-righteous. There is no just man upon the face of the earth outside of Christ. The moment you trusted Christ as Savior, you find what? He has made us just to himself. And Revelations 22:7, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let him that is thirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. That's how we come. There's nothing that you and I can do for it. If we could do anything, it wouldn't be a gift. We could do anything, it would be something we earned or bought. Then we find that she came herself. She didn't send someone by proxy. That's how most of the big people would be today. Most of us, if we were busy and we were concerned about something like this, we'd send one of our subordinates to go and check it out. She didn't do that. She came herself. And she came a great distance. What does it say here? From the uttermost part of the earth. In that day and time, that was the outer fringes of society. And then she did something else. Well, let's read a verse that would go along with that. Ephesians 2:13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Before we trusted Christ as Savior, we were far off. In Hebrews 10:12 and 14, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice to sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God, and henceforth expecting until his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sinned. The moment we trust Christ as Savior, we're perfected forever. Now that doesn't say we're not going to stumble and fall. But you find in the epistles, who were the epistles written to, by the way? They weren't written to the world or to the lost. They were written to God's people. If we confess our sins, these are his people. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And then she came at considerable risk. She traveled all these miles to get there. And of course, there were robbers and all kinds of things along the way, so she came with a great retinue. But while she was away, what might have happened? She didn't have radio or TV or a cell phone. She could have come back and found there had been an uprising, a revolt, and she didn't have a symbol. But she left it all to hear this man. And said, dude, did she ever have any risk? Or was she ever unthankful? Was she ever sorry? No, she gave herself to Solomon. We have a greater than Solomon. We give ourselves to him. And then we find she came to Solomon, not to one of his ministers. Most of us, that's where we end up. Someone down the line. You and I go before the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone can save us. He is our intercessor. He's the one that goes between us and the Father. It's his blood that washes our sins away. John 1 and 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. You and I are sons and daughters of Almighty God. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and go in and find pasture. Now why in the world couldn't I do that before? Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Not through something else. It has to be through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we find that she communed. The time is gone, but we'll just mention a few things. She came with hard questions. He answered all the questions. A little picture I'd like to make mention of. See if I can find it here quickly. But regardless, Lazarus. This is after the raising of Lazarus. This is approximately a week before the Lord went to Calvary. And what was it said when he went to Bethany? He sat at the table, and someone sat at the table with him. He had communion with him. Martha served. Mary was all three. Normally we have worship and we have the communion along with service. The beautiful picture. The one that had been dead is now alive, and he sat in communion with his Lord. That's what. Loving Heavenly Father, again we thank you for the wonderful gift of eternal salvation. Find it as full, as free, as eternal. And we pray that each of us might be drawn closer to himself, that we might be conformed to himself, that others might see Christ in us. And may each of us not be hesitant about speaking up to the Lord, giving a word in season and out of season, whether it seems appropriate or not. We witness the saving grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Someone else might come to know him as Savior. Someone else might realize and have the joy of eternal salvation. Salvation is not something that will come in the street by and by. You find in Ephesians that we are accepted in the Beloved. Therefore, we're accepted as the Beloved. And he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is how God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit see us already, as though we were already in his eternal presence. The Father and the wonderful peace and joy that we have in himself, may we be ready and even anxious to tell out the truth of the gospel. All we ask is that would be that each of us take it for all to our several hands in safety, and then truly those that have been laid aside with illness, this guy will that they might be raised up, others that have been believed, that they will be comforted. And again, we thank you for hearing how well our dear brother Schubert is looking. Having we prayed, he's with age, but evidently feeling pretty well. I think the dear Francis as well has to decide will that she too might soon be raised up. These things we ask in his name for his sake.